Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKedesh, is daf Chof Zayin, and we are holding four lines down from the top at the two dots, and we are confused by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Elu Hein Ma'amadot. Elu Hein Ma'amadot seems to be an introduction to an explanation. When we've been talking about Ma'amadot, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Ma'amadot. Instead, starts this whole non sequitur, Lefisha Nemar, Tzavas B'nei Yisrael, Korbani Lachmi. What? That's not what you said. You were going to explain. Mike Omar, what's going on? No, Ochikomar. Elu Ein Ma'amadot. Now, I'm about to explain to you what these Ma'amadot are, but before I do, Ma Tam Tiknu Ma'amadot. What do you think these Ma'amadot are for? Ah, Lefisha Nemar, Tzavas B'nei Yisrael, Ve'amar Talehim. Et korbani lachmi lishai. So ask yourself, ech korbano shel adam karev, fuhu eno omed al gabav. So therefore, kaim along itkino the neviim arishonim, which we'll see is a reference to David HaMelech and to Shmuel, and they came along and they were mitakein these esrim varba mishmarot, and on each one of the mishmarot that we had, there was also an equivalent ma'amad. So we had the Esrim Arba Mishmarot, and I'll call Mishmar u'Mishmar, Haya Ma'amad b'Yerushalayim, Shel Kohanim, Shel Leviim, Shel Yisraelim. So as I explained to you yesterday, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether this means that the ma'amadot were mixed with Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, or whether it means we need to have ultimately in Yerushalayim Mishmarot of Kohanim, which are the 24 Mishmarot HaKuna, of Leviim, which are the 24 Mishmarot of the Leviim, and of Yisraelim, which are the 24 Mishmarot of the Ma'amadot. Okay, this is a machloka. So according to Ritva, there were only Yisraelim in the Ma'amad, and according to many other Rishonim, no, it's talking about over here. Besides the Kohanim Leviim that were on duty to do the Aveda, there were Kohanim Leviim that were appointed as well to be part of the Mishmarot. And this way, every single Korban that was brought by the Tzibur had a representative of Am Yisrael that would be Emed on them. Higi Azman Mishmar La'alot. So when it came time for their turn, Kohanim B'Leviim Olim LiYerushalayim, etc., etc. Now let's first talk about the Mishmarot, and we'll talk about the Aliyah to Yerushalayim and to the cities. Tana Rabban. Esrim V'Arba'a Mishmarot Be'eretz Yisrael Kulot. So we have 24 Mishmarot. They were spread over the entire Eretz Yisrael. And then, this is what we think it means, and then in Yericho alone, there were 12. What? What are you talking about? Shtemesrei b'Yericho? Wait a minute. You said there were 24 Mishmarot. Now all of a sudden we got 36. The fish in Luhutuva. So now we've got way more than 24. No. That was misleading. I mean, that the 12 out of these Mishmarot ended up in Yericho. Huh? That's a little weird. No, so now let me explain. I'll read the Brisa fully so you can understand what's going on. Higi Azman HaMishmar La'alot. Let's take a particular Mishmar. We'll call it Mishmar A. Okay, so now what happens is that half of the people, of course, they gather from all over Eretz Yisrael. Yes. And half of them go up to Yerushalayim. And half of them go to Yericho, and they take on themselves the duty of Kedesh Yisapku Mayim U'Mazon L'Chayim Shel Yerushalayim. So Yericho was a place that was extremely rich, well endowed, and they had all the food storage there and so on. So they would bring Derech Yericho Mayim U'Mazon to the Kohanim that were in Yerushalayim, and then the Rishonim speak out, and then they would switch. The half that was in Yericho went up to Yerushalayim. The half that was in Yerushalayim, they took on themselves the logistics. And there's a machlokas whether this means they switched even during that 1 week, or it means the next time the Mishmar came out, because Mishmar comes up twice a year. The next time the Mishmar came up, so then the other half would go to Yerushalayim, and the half that had been Yerushalayim would go to Yericho. Furthermore, there are two Girsaot here. One has Hayaola mi Yericho, and the other one has Hayaola Li Yericho. And that means those who are Goris Mi Yericho, they learn that just like it was a place that was Kavua from Mishmarot, that there were those Mishmarot that were in Yerushalayim, if they couldn't come from far away, they didn't come. And there were also mishmarot that were kavua in Yericho, and those who were kavua in Yericho, those were the ones who would come. Okay, in any event, when we say half of them, 12 of them, we don't mean that they came from Yericho. What we mean is that since Lamaisa, half of the time, each one of these mishmarot would be either in Yerushalayim or in Yericho. So what we're saying is, and half of the time, they were in Yericho. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel.
Sorry, how do you learn Bet Yericho?
Sorry?
Bet Yericho. I'm the opinion that said Bet Yericho.
Me Yericho means...
No,
Le Yericho. Yeah, that they would come to be all the Le Yericho, is the other gears. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Ma'akvim et HaKorban. You have to have all of the representatives, if you learn like those Rishonim who say, in the Ma'amad, so it means in the Ma'amad. If you learn like the Ritva, so it means you need, the same way you need the Kohanim and the Levim to come up to do the Korbanos, you need to have also the Israeli. B'matnita Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he tainas Kohanim, Levim, and the Klei Shir. Now there's another Girsa that adds Yisraelim. He wasn't arguing on that. He's only adding that you also need the Rebbe to be there. Well, not the Rebbe, but you need his guitar at least. And actually, it's not a reference to the guitar. The main cliche that's Ma'akev is the Avuv. As, there we go. And if he would give us the background for every Daf Yomi, it would be amazing. After 1 year, we would have a different Shira for every single day, specially composed for that Daf, which means that after 7 years, we would have a special Shira for every daf of Gemara and Shas. That would be an amazing thing. Imagine putting out such an album. The Song of Shas. Wow. Amazing. Okay. So anyway, do you need to have the musical instrumentation or not? So what are they arguing about? Why does Rav Shimon ben Elazar dafka hold that the music is ma'akev and Shmuel doesn't? And says the Gemara, well, we know the answer to that. We've already had that machlokas. Shmuel obviously holds that Iker Shira Bepeh. The question of whether the main mitzvah of Shira is the voices of the Levian and the instrumentation is to make those voices into like real music. But what it is that the Torah is insisting upon is on your singing. And Mar Savar Iker Shira Bekli. Mashenken Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying that the main idea is the musical instruments, in which case you obviously have to have the musical instruments. Now, the question is whether this really means ikuva. We had this sugya nerefin. And, I mean, lemaisa, we paskin that it's not ma'akev. And Tosfos over there says that even when we thought it was ma'akev, we only meant it was ma'akev for nisuch. Nisuch ha'mayim, you don't do the nisuch ha'mayim if you don't have the Shira. So it wasn't going to claw that it's ma'akev everything. And in fact, if you take a look at the Shita Mekubetzet, says it's a little bit strange, but there doesn't seem to be much choice that when the Gemara says over here, ikuva doesn't mean what ikuva normally means, which is that if you would do it, you wouldn't be yotze. Ikuva means that you need to wait, the literal language of ikuva, that if they haven't arrived, and they're still going to be coming, then you need to wait for them because of the fact that they're so important. But obviously, we're not going to skip the Korbanos because somebody hasn't shown up. But that would be the machlokas between Shmuel and Shimon ben Elazar. Now let's get back to how the 24 Mishmarot became organized. So Omer Abchama Bar Guria Omer Rav. The truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu automatically needed to create the Mishmaros from the children of Elazar and Itamar. So he was the one who first set up 8 Mishmarot. 4 Mishmarot from the family of Elazar, 4 Mishmarot from the family of Itamar. And that was the original Mishmarot. When Shmuel came along, he actually doubled the number of the Mishmarot, and he made it 16. And then David came along when there were more Kohanim and more need for organization, and he made it 24. And we know that this was a gradual development, because if you take a look in the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, where it mentions a lot of this development between Ezra and Nehemiah and here, we have a lot of information. So it says in Divrei Hayamim that Bishnata Arba'im L'Malchut David, it was in the 40th year of Malchus Beis David, that Nidrashu V'Yimatzei Bem Giborei Chayil B'Yazer Gilad, so that then they were looking around to make sure that they would have gotten all of the Kohanim and all of the Levim. And this Pasuk follows a long list of the various Shemites of the Levim and the Kohanim, who apparently were the Roshe Mishpachos, that were the original names of the different Mishmarais. And then it was Kavua on the 24. Wait a minute. That's not right, what Rav is saying. The Brisa says that Moshe tikein lem Yisrael shmona mishmarot, Elazar, arba'ami Elazar, v'arba'ami Itamar, and then David and Shmuel together made them 24. Not like he's saying that first came on Shmuel, and he made it 16, and then David HaMelech came along at the end of his reign, Shenema, Hema Yisa David u'Shmuel haro'e b'munatam. It says Beferish in Divrei Hayamim that together David and Shmuel Haroe, they were the ones in their great sense of emuna and reliability for the future, and that this would be the meaning of the pasuk Levad Mimkarav El Avotam, that the Avot, meaning that you could rely on them, and that Shmuel and David, they were koveya these mishmarot, and that's not like Rav. Rav says that this was a gradual increase. No, that doesn't matter. I mean, all the Bryce is saying is that between what Shmuel had originally done and what David subsequently done, we can establish the 24 Mishmarot through both Shmuel Aro and David. That's all it's saying. Where does it say that it wasn't gradual? So, mi yisodosho David Shmuel Aramati, hemidum, at the end of this process, al esrim v'arba. I don't see how you can ask a kasha on Rav from this. Well, how about this price? This price is really different. Tanya Idach, Moshe tikein lem Yisrael sheshesrei mishmarot. Whoa, now that's definitely different, because until now we were saying Moshe was mitakein 8, and then Shmuel added it to 16, he doubled it. And here it says that Moshe was originally mitakein 16, not 4 and 4, but 8 and 8. Shmona me'elazar u'shmona me'itamar. Then, and this is also meduyak from the Divrei Hayamim, then, as the years went on, it turned out that B'nai Elazar were much more numerous than B'nai Itamar. So because of that, Kesherabu B'nai Elazar B'nai Itamar, we're going to take a look at the Pesukim in a moment, Chilkum, so then they redivided the Mishmarot, and then Emidam Al Esrim V'Arba. So then they made 16 for Elazar and 8 for Itamar. Where do we see that? Shenema. Vayimatzeu b'nei Elazar rabim l'roshei ha'gvarim min b'nei Itamar. So that they made a new count, and it found that there were far more men that came, that were roi for doing the Aveda, from the people of Elazar than there were from Itamar. And so therefore, Vayach lekum livnei Elazar rashim lebet avot shisha asar. So then what they did is they split it, and they gave 16 to Vnei Elazar, and livnei Itamar lebet avotam, they gave only 8. So that means together we ended up with 24. So vayimatzu is a loshana of a discovery. Oh my gosh. So things are different than it was, because everybody had assumed that the original Chalukah was correct and that it could be even, and they could both have 8 and 8. And then they discovered that, no, they actually need to adjust it. Not to mention that it also says, V'omer, now the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, what does that add exactly? V'omer, Beit Av Echad Achuz L'Elazar, V'Achuz Achuz L'Itamar. So that means we added one extra Beit Av, now given to Elazar, but whatever was Achuz remained Achuz L'Itamar. So in other words, what Itamar had initially, they retained, which was the 8. So again, we see, not like Rav, because I mean, we see over here that we had originally 8 and 8, and then it became 16 and 8, but not 4 and 4, which then became 8 and 8, and then was adjusted to the 24. So first of all, the Gemara wants to know, wait a minute. I mean, you didn't add anything with that extra pasuk at the end, right? It said, Beferish, 16 and 8. I mean, you can't say it more clearly than that. So why did you have to add that last pasuk about Beit Avachad, Echuzel Elazar, V'Echuz Echuzel Yitamar? I'll tell you why. Maiva Omer. Because I want you to be sure that you understand that the way that we're explaining that it was originally 8 is correct, because you might have tried to explain the pasuk like this. V'chi tema, that ge'echad nefishe b'nei Elazar, hachinami nefishe b'nei Yitamar. And basically, there was an increase in both families, so that would mean that originally, what is now 8 in Elazar, in Itamar, was actually originally 4, the way Rav was learning. And that's the whole point of bringing the pasuk, that's not true. Don't think that the Shmona Meikara was actually Arba and that we doubled the amount that we had in Itamar also. No. Beit Avechad Achuz Elazar, and what was before remained what it is in Itamar. That's the pshat. So the Achuz, Achuz L'Itamar, what was the original portion remained his portion. So that proves that we had 8 originally. Oh, ho, ho, ho. That seems to for sure be a tiyuf of Rav Chama Bar Gurya Omarav, because he said that Moshe Rabbeinu only had 4 and 4, which was 8, and here we're bringing a raya in this brisa. So the way the brisa is learning the pasuk is that no, Adarabba, Moshe Rabbeinu had originally created 8 and 8, and then we doubled Elazar over Itamar. Amar lach Rav Chama Bar Gurya, what are you coming at me for? You know it's a machlokas in the brisas. And we just had a brisa before that said Beferish it was 4 and 4. I agree, it's a machlokas tanoi. Omar lach Rav Chama Bar Gurya tanoihi. So it's true, this brisa says, according to Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was 8 and 8. But ana de amar kei, ana de amar shmona, the first brisa made it very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was 4 and 4. So that's how it was going. Tanu rabbanan. Now, let's talk about what happened later in history. Because all of this is the original gradual growth. Now, there was an absolutely catastrophic reversal of that growth, obviously, at the time of the Churban, because as we know, we couldn't get them to come back from Bavel to Yerushalayim. And that was really a mess because Ezra Cohen made the census and he found out that he didn't have enough from Shevet Levi. And it was a terrible situation in which only Tana Rabbanan Arba Mishmarot Alumin Agola, out of the original 24 Mishmarot, the Sach HaKol, only 4 Mishmarot came from the Gola. And that was Yedaya Chorim Pashkur V'Imer. And as Rashi points out, it must be that Rashi doesn't explain it, but Pashkur, even though the name occurs in the Divrei Hayomim, it wasn't the name of a Mishmar. Basically, listen, as Rashi points out, a lot of the families that we have even in the Chamishikum Shetera, where we have the different counts, they appear with different names in different counts. So Rashi always say, well, this family is this family, as it's mentioned earlier, and so on. So it could be that because, as we know, is always the case in Divrei Hayomim, that the names are end names, and they constantly change according to the history. That's what the whole Gemara goes through in Megillah. You know, we know you're trying to fool us, but we know what you're doing. So that was the, yes, Rabbanea, drink.
For sure, but Rabbi Weinberg last time quoted a marsha from Yirmiyahu and Pashchur, and we found a lat mazar l'Hashem, found a bula, a piece of clay, with Gedaya ben Pashchur's name.
Ah.
And in the sifting of Har Habayit, Gabi Barkai's team found the name Imer from Bais Rishon.
Beautiful.
So just, we have regards, as Gabi Barkai puts it, from the family of Imer.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you. Incredible how these things are just popping up, Mamish, to see their names signed on things. It's just amazing. Sure. Fantastic. Okay, we should be zeichet to see all of those mishmaris. Anyway, so only 4 mishmaris came. So how did they deal with the fact that there were 24 mishmaros that had been mitukan by David HaMelech? And I mean, what are they supposed to do now? Cancel the original Mimkar Lavotam? It didn't seem right. What could we do? So what they did was, Amdu Neviim Shebeinehem. Remember that they were still Zaycha to have Neviim Beinehem. And they took the ones that had come up, the four that had come up, and they multiplied those four by six. That's what they did. So they were mechalik, those four, and each one of them became six. And then they did the most remarkable thing. They redid it al pi hagoral and al pi ruach hakodesh, so that it would be clear which mishmarot came up. So therefore they were chilkum, vehemidum al esrim v'arba, and then they took pieces of paper, wrote down the names of the new mishmarot on 24 pieces. So what they did was, let's say, so we took Yedaya, was the most developed, and they came first. And usually they would not have been the first, but Yehoyariv, who was the first, didn't show up. So now Yedaya became the first. And Yedaya is now six different families. And they wrote down those names of the six different families on pieces of paper, a piece of parchment. And Yedaya's representative would stick in his hand and say the name of the family that was going to come up with the Goral, pick it up and show it, and it was that name. And then he would put in his hand again, would say the name of the next family, pick it up, and that was the name that came up. So everybody saw that it was on the same getter of Shmuel HaRoeh and David ben Munasam, because you can't have anything less than absolute reliability when you're trying to take away a portion from one person and give it instead to the other person, because that's basically, as Rashi explains, that's the meaning of Levad Mimkar Lavot. It's exactly that Nakuda. Each one sells out their rights to the others. So you needed to have 100% reliability. Okay, so they did it in this way, and he took out six, then came along Harim, meaning the leader of Harim. He did the same thing with his six, v'nata chalko v'chelek chaveirav b'sach hakol sheish. This doesn't mean an additional sheish. So it was a total of six. Then came Pashchur and did the same thing. Then Imer came the same thing. V'chein hitnu nevi'im shebeinehem. And at that time, they made a special tonight. What's going to be when the Meshach, the generations, finally the other Kohanim show up? So what will be was that we're never going to take away the rights that were given to these amazing families that came up when they did. And they are always the first ones that have the rights to be Eved. But let's say that Yehoyariv shows up and Yehoyariv is supposed to come first. I don't give a hang. Afilu Yehoyariv Rosh HaMishmeret Oleh. We're not going to take away the rights of Yedaya to be number one. Yedaya will be number one. We will add Yoyariv afterwards, and we'll have to restructure the Yedaya to be five families instead of six, because otherwise we're going to be adding to the Mishmaros. We won't add to the Mishmaros, and so on. Gradually, as the Mishmarot refill with the original families, these four will always be given Kedima, and they will ultimately go back to being one as we reduce them each time in order to accommodate the Kayanim that are returning. So, Ela Yedaya Iker, V'Yoyarav Tafel. Now, the Mishnah continues. The next thing was that Yisrael, Shepoto Mishmar, the ones who were not coming up to Yerushalayim or didn't live in Yerushalayim, those were mitkantzim ba'orehem v'korin b'maasei bereshit. So they would go into their local communities, and we saw there was a machlokas. Some say that they actually went out into the rechov, the same way the Tainis Tzibor was treated. Others learned that, no, this was done inside the Beit HaKnesset. But what they would do was, besides their special tefillas, which we'll discuss later, they also would read from the Sefer Torah every single day, in Shachris and Musaf, as we're going to see tomorrow, and were korin b'maasei bereshit. How do we get to Maisa Bereshis from the Ma'amadot? Minanimile. What made us do that? Omer of Yaakov Baracha, Omer of Asi. It's very simple. If it wouldn't be for these Ma'amadot, we wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be a creation. There would be no way that our lives could still go on. That Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adonai Elohim, B'moi Daki Rashena, which means, what was he saying? What, he doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift? No. Amar Avraham, Ribono Shel Olam, I understand that this is a gift, but there's no guarantees for even existence, are there? And what will happen if Shema Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha, and Ata Oselem Kedora Mabu, Kedora Palaga? Listen, I mean, there have been examples before where the entire civilization was wiped out, either physically wiped out, or basically the civilization was wiped out and scattered. I mean, if that happens to Yisrael, what's going to put it together again? Omar lo lav. No. It won't happen. Omar lo fanav. So Avram Avinu said to him, Ribono shel olam, hodieni ba me'ar yoshena. I need to know. So what can I do to make sure that it won't happen? I mean, if l'maisi Yisrael is chayte, so how can we possibly deal with the chayte? Omar lo, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, Koli egla mishuleshet ve'ez mishuleshet, and so on, which means that each of the various karbonates were necessary. And therefore, if it wouldn't have been for that, so then there would not have been a b'mayida. We wouldn't have known that there's actually a guarantee for the existence of Yisrael. And if there's no guarantee for the existence of Yisrael, then there's no guarantee for the existence of the world. And the whole thing will become batal, just like it did in the Mabul, when there were no people, as Rashi says. I only create everything b'schus Adam. If there's no Adam, what do I need this for? So the earth itself was destroyed. So the same thing will happen again. Therefore, boils down to the Kali Egla Mishaleshet Vez Mishaleshet. And therefore, we need to constantly be Isaac, because then Avram Avinu said, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, and what if there's no Beis HaMikdash? Tenach bizman she Beit HaMikdash kayam? Bizman she in Beit HaMikdash kayam, ma tehe aleihem? Amar lo answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kvar tikanti lem seder korbanos. So reading in the Torah from the Seder HaKorbanos will be the equivalent of the actual Hakrava to me, if that's the case. So now even though those who are in Yerushalayim, on them is mutal, the standing on the korban and the relating it to Maaseh Bereishis. On those that are not eimed in the Beis HaMikdash, so they, in learning about the korbanos, also need to be mechaberet to Maaseh Bereishis. And then ma'aleane aleihem ki'ilu hikrivum lefanai v'ani mocher lehem al kol avonoteihem. And that's why we read from Maaseh Bereishis, because ultimately Maaseh Bereishis was for this moment of the ma'amadot. Tana Rabbana, anshei mishmar. Now almost everyone understands anshei mishmar to mean the anshei mishmar of the ma'amad. And as I mentioned to you in the introduction to the perek, we often find that we will use the word mishmar on the ma'amad and the word ma'amad on the mishmar. So that if you learn this way, which is how Rashi learns, so then the anshei mishmar would be the anshei ma'amad who had a special tefillah. So they would have special tefillahs and remember the taniyot. So they, first of all, wherever they were, they would be mitpalel al korban acheim shit kabil beratzon. V'anshei ma'amad mitkansin lebet hakneset v'yoshvim arba taniyot. Now this is the gear, so we have the Gra actually reverses the order, and he says anshei mishmar comes afterwards. First we start with anshei ma'amad, but the point is that there would be the taniyot that we had all over the country. And that was, as we pointed out, it's still Sheni v'Chamishi, but it's not Sheni v'Chamishi. It's Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, and Chamishi. It's the whole period from Sheni through Chamishi. And they would have special taniyot. And what was the focus? Remember that we learned before that a tainus has to have a focus. And we're not misanim al shnei dvorim ke'echad. So what was the specific focus of the taniyot on the various days? Remarkably, the focus was related to Maaseh Bereishis. And therefore, on a Sheni B'Shabbos, the focus would be on people that were traveling on the seas, Why? Because that was the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavdil, Bin Mayim L'Mayim, and therefore we were Mispalel on people that were Yordei Yam. On the Shlishi, where we have the day of Yera'eh HaYabasha, we learned that as a play on words. Yera'eh HaYabasha means Tehei Re'uya HaYabasha, so that the earth should be safe for travelers, and therefore on a Shlishi, where we're Mispalelim, specifically for Hochei Midbarot, people that were in wilderness areas, that they should be safe, not attacked by wild animals or wild human animals. On the fourth day of the week, what was there? Yehi Me'orot Perakia HaShamayim. But remember, as Me'orot, as Rashi says in the actual Parsha and Bereshis, Me'orot is spelled Me'erot, and Me'erot is a klola. Why? Because that was the time when you got most of the Askara, most of the diphtheria. And therefore, they were mispalel on Askara, shalotipol al hatinokot. Of course, we could have all those brilliant anti-vaxxers to give up on the DPT vaccines, you know, so we could have all the kids dying on Tuesday again, as you could see in the all the old gravestones before there was the diphtheria shot. And that would, of course, make the earth much healthier. Anyway, so they used to be mispalel on Revi when they didn't have vaccines, so they used the tefillahs of the maimed instead of the vaccines. And then on Chamishi, they were mispalel on Ubarot Uminikot. Why? Because that is the day specifically of Yishutzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. Nefesh Chaya, remember we were derish earlier? Nefesh HaChayehu. See to it that life goes on. And that would mean that pregnant women shouldn't be maypil, and nursing women should have enough milk, that the yeniku et b'neihem, that's all part of the fertility of the earth, that sheretz yishritzu, sheretz nefesh chaya, and of course sheretz, as we saw in Eretz Mitzrayim, is a sense of fertility and reproduction, and therefore we're mispalel that we should be zoicha to have such fertility. On Erev Shabbos, there was no tainis, and that was mipnei kvod ha-shabbat, because as we said, it's not a proper way to come into Shabbos in which you're feeling all weak and blechy because you didn't eat all day. That's not a kavod Shabbos. And therefore, kal v'chomer b'Shabbat atzma, obviously there was never a tainus on Shabbos. But what about be'echad b'Shabbos? Why didn't we have a tainus on Sunday? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, because of the Christians. That's fascinating. So mipnei ha-notzrim, why is that? Because if we had a tainus on Sunday, and they're trying to make Sunday into the best day of the week and a happy day, they would view it as being specifically an anti-Christian move, and it would generate all types of pogroms and so on. So because of that, we couldn't fast on a Sunday. So tainus Rabbi Yochanan. Never on a Sunday, was Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. He says, that's not the reason. The reason is because Sunday is the third day from the time that Adam was created. Adam was created on an Erev Shabbos. That's Hashem Malach, Geyut Lavesh. And that means that on Sunday, it's the third day. Now, every difficult change and anything traumatic is most problematic on the third day. That we know because of the story of Shechem. It's not only about Mila. It's where somebody goes through an accident or the trauma of creation or an operation, whatever operation it is. And that is the weakest time. And because of that, we want to make sure that we do not further weaken our already weakened status, having lived through our recreation every week on Friday. Rish Lakish says, that's not why. It's because of the horrible loss of the Neshama Yisera on the Mitzray Shabbos. That's all we need, is to get whammied again by having a real fast. It's not bad enough that we lost our Neshama Yisera. You could kill us. Because the Omar Rish Lakish, Neshama Yitera Nitna Bo Be'adam Be'erev Shabbat, and Be'motzei Shabbat, that's a horror. Not Limo Tamimeno, he loses his Neshama Yitera. And that's the Pasuk. Shabbat Vayinafash. Oy vey. Right after Shabbos, he finishes Shabbos. Vay, vay. Of the nefesh, where's my nefesh? It's gone. And that is the loss of the Neshama Yetera. Okay, now getting to the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah is very confusing. The Mishnah said that on Yom Rishon you read Bereshis ven Vayirakia. Now, wait a second. There's not enough psukim in Bereshis to read two people. And yet the Tana explained that Bereshis is read by two people, and Yehi Rakia is read by one person. And we went through all of them and we said one, the short one is by one, and the longer one is by two. The problem is that even the longer one does not have six psukim in all of these cases. So Bishlam Yehi Rakia Bechad, I understand that you can read with one person because it is three psukim. It's a lot of psukim have it. But how in the world are we supposed to read Bereshit with two people? There's a total of five psukim. And we know that the Mishnah says, HaKorei BaTorah Al Yifchot Mishlosha Psukim, that you can't read less than three psukim. So if two people are going to read and they only have five psukim, what do? Says Rav, well, they go back. The second guy reads again the last pasuk that the first guy read. And that way they each have three psukim. Where Shmuel says, no, you don't do that. You split a pasuk into two, and the first guy reads two and a half, and the second guy reads two and a half. So that machlokas, says the Gemara, and this is, of course, we've had this numerous times, Rav Amar Doleg. So why does he say that? Why doesn't he agree that we should just stop in the middle of the pasuk? Well, that's obvious. Katsava. Ko psuk lo paske Moshe. Anan lo paskidan lei. Listen, the Pisuk, Apsukim, and the Tamim, and all of these things are all from Ksar Sinai. They're all called Halacha L'Meshem Sinai. So who are you to go around splitting a pasuk into two, and you'll give half of it to one person, half it to another person? That's ridiculous. Can't do that. Where Shmuel says Posek, I thought we're not allowed to be Posek. Umi Paskinan? Isn't Rav correct in this? Didn't Rabbi Hanina Kara? Rabbi Hanina was like the big, big mumche and tamim and psukim. So they called him Rabbi Hanina de Kara, the Balkere, and the one who's a mumche in Mikra. So he said, you cannot imagine what I went through fighting with Rabbi Hanina HaGadol, because I was teaching, basically I was creating the curriculum for school kids, and I had so many arguments with him. Tsar gadol ayali etz Rabbi Hanina HaGadol until he finally gave in to me, and I tried to persuade him, you cannot teach kids a whole pasuk at a time. You can only teach it to them in bits and pieces. So what am I supposed to do? And he finally agreed that only for young school children, lo yitirli lifsok ela letinokot shel Beit Rabban. So he was matirit because he says, ki ayovli itlamed asuyin. That since over there the pisuk is not in any way suggesting that the pasuk actually is mufsak, it was just that this is the way we're teaching, he was matir it. But what in the world would give Shmuel the right to go ahead and to be posik it because we want enough for it to be read by two people? And Shmuel will say, well, why do you think Rabbi Hanina HaGadol gave in the end? Because there was no choice. What are you supposed to do? You got to teach the kids, and this is the only way to teach the kids. So what's your problem? So the same thing is true over here. Hatam time am I? Why did he give in? Mishum de lo efshar. So over here it's lo efshar. Lo efshar? I mean, why is it lo efshar? Couldn't you be doleg? Shmuel amar posek. I mean, couldn't we do what Rav says and be doleg instead of doing this horrible thing of splitting that single pasuk into two parts? Ah, no, Shmuel says. You definitely cannot be doleg. Because what will happen? Imagine. Yizera mishum anichnasim. Imagine what happens if the first guy reads three out of five psukim, right? And then somebody walks into shul just in time for Levi. And Levi starts reading over here from the same pasuk. So then he thinks to himself, wow, that's weird. What did the Kohen read? I guess he only read the first two psukim. So I guess you're allowed to read only two psukim. That's what he would assume. And imagine somebody who leaves, he leaves before Levi is called up. So he walks out of shul. And he says to himself, gosh, there are only two psukim left, so I guess Levi's going to be reading two psukim. So he'll also come to the same wrong conclusion. So because of this, we can't ever do that. Gzera mishum anichnasim, gzera mishum hayotzim. Asks the Gemara, but both of you are wrong. Because it says in the Braita, if there's six psukim, parsha shel shisha psukim, you split it into two, that's because you've got three. But if you've got five psukim, So then what you would do, if one person is reading it, that's fine. But suppose the first person only read three. So then the second person comes up and he reads the remaining two, and then he goes on to read the next parsha. He has to read at least one more pasuk from the other parsha, or some say a minimum of three psukim. L'fisha ein matchilim parsha pachot b'shlosha psukim. This doesn't work out according to either Rav or Shmuel. I mean, if he held like Rav Doleg, so then he should have gone back. And if he held like Shmuel that it was posek, he should have been posek. No, that's different. For heaven's sakes. Over here, we have a specific thing that we have to read. We can't go on elsewhere. We're trying to match up the day to the day of Maaseh Bereishis. What's wrong with you? Over there, fine. So you were reading. So read a little bit from the next parsha. What's the big deal? So over there, you have plenty of revacha, don't you? You've got plenty of space to go ahead and to read something else. So go ahead and read something else.